and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hi.
And Caitlin.
Hello.
And today, we are talking about Season 4, Episode 12 of One Tree Hill, titled Resolve, which, fun fact, is a song by the Foo Fighters. And another fun fact about this episode, it was directed by the one and only Moira Kelly.
That's why it was so good. Bless her for truly making one of my One Tree Hill, like, dreams come true. Like, truly. Like... And I didn't even know it was a dream until I'm like, yeah, that's good. I'm glad I am seeing this with my eyes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
This was a great episode. So
We all love this episode.
Now I know why.
Here we go. All right. So we open on Peyton's room and all of her artwork that she's got hanging up in her room that we've seen throughout the years. And she's sitting at her mirror and she's smiling because she's happy. And Lucas comes in. And she smiles even bigger. She comes up to him. They give a big old smooch. And they both say it's going to be a very good day today. And we like that. And at school, Haley is now limping around on her crutches. But Nathan catches up to her and helps her and gives her a smooch. And we then move to Brooke, who is studying calculus while Rachel sits down next to her. And Brooke asks her why she's still wearing her clean teen t-shirt. They don't have to do that anymore. And we find out that Rachel started her morning with a bang, as this clean teen t-shirt is apparently a guy magnet.
Yuck.
Gross.
Men are gross. Straight men are, like, objectively kind of gross.
Yep.
Yes. Moira Kelly may have directed this episode, but a man wrote it.
Uh-huh.
And yes. Produced it. Yes.
Yes. And then just then, Shelley and the clean teens approach them. And she asks Brooke why she isn't wearing her clean teen t-shirt. How will boys know about her chosen lifestyle of celibacy if she isn't wearing her clean teen's t-shirt? But lucky for her, she carries extras at all times.
Cool.
Just then, though, she also then introduces Brooke and Rachel to the newest member of clean teens and the new student at Tree Hill High, Chase, who is a transfer student from Westerbrook.
Also known as Stephen Coletti from
Laguna Beach, baby.
Laguna Beach. God, I thought he looked familiar. Fuck that. Yep. It's Stephen Coletti from Laguna Beach.
Yep. He finished Laguna Beach and then decided he wanted to become an actor, and he got his first role on One Tree Hill.
I have been waiting for Chase. I love him so much.
Same.
Like, I've just been waiting for him.
Chase is great. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad.
So, you know who's also very excited to see Chase?
Brooke Davis.
Because Brooke immediately rips that shirt out of Shelly's hands, puts it on, and goes, "Hi, I'm Brooke."
Clean teen. Hi.
Brooke, hi. Yes. So then we go to Brooke, who is checking out Chase in the library, and she, quote unquote, bumps into him. To no avail of him even really noticing her. And then we get my favorite conversation, maybe of this episode, where Brooke sits down next to Mouth in the library and asks him why Chase, the new guy, won't talk to her. And Mouth immediately goes, "There's another new guy?"
Mouth has had it with people transferring to this goddamn school. He has 8 weeks of high school left and he's done.
Yep. He's so pissed.
He's like, just broken up with. He is in sulky, heartbroken mouth mode. And another
new hot guy.
Yes. Yep. God damn it.
Yep.
A new hot guy that Brooke is attracted to.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And she tells him. And she tells him, you know, I did my trick. I smiled. I flipped my hair. And I rubbed up against him. And that always works. And Mouth says, rub up against him all you want. But he's immune to girls like you because he's a clean teen. And Brooke's like, well, but he's a virgin. What do virgins talk about, Mouth? And he's like, what are you talking about? Just talk to him. It's fine. And just then, Shelly comes up and tells Brooke there is an emergency clean teen meeting. And Mouth looks up at Shelly, and he has the biggest doe eyes on the planet and is just completely speechless, poor boy. And Brooke introduces Mouth to Shelly. And then Shelly leaves. And as she's leaving, she's already gone. And Mouth goes, "Hi, I'm Mouth." And Shelly's already gone. And Brooke says, "It's not so easy talking to a hot virgin, is it?" I love those two. They're great. They're great.
I just... Lee Norris's acting is just the range so this man has.
Yeah,
I so good.
Love him.
Just so, on a dime from annoyed to like, Brooke, what are you doing? To hi, pretty girl.
The range in this episode alone.
Yes. Yes. To what happened later in this episode. The range.
Yes. Then, okay. Then another adorable thing happens where Lucas is caught passing a note to Peyton in class. And the
was
teacher
this adorable, or did this make me want to die? That's the
it
question.
It made me want to die. Like, I honestly, I know last week I was like, they're so good together. Like, they make each other so happy. But honeymoon phase Peyton and Lucas, now that she's like not worried about him dropping dead if they make out, they're gross.
They are disgusting. And
they're made gross. That teacher.
We got a brand new fucking teacher in this television
show.
She's
gonna quit. Like,
and she's gonna quit.
For 13th reason. This is why she quit.
Can I tell the viewers what she did?
If you have to.
Yes. Okay, great. So Lucas is caught passing the note, and the teacher tries to embarrass Lucas pretty much by saying, "Would you like to read it aloud to the class?" And it is happily saying that Peyton looks amazing and he can't wait to look into her after class, where he can look into her green eyes and kiss her. And the teacher asks if Peyton would like to respond, which she does so by kissing Lucas in the middle of class, to the entire class going, "Ooh," pretty much.
And that teacher regretted her entire career.
She did. Yeah, she's like, "God damn it, this didn't work. It didn't work this time." And the teacher says, "Oh, young love, at least you'll be together in detention." To which Peyton whispers to Lucas that it was so worth it. And I think it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. No, it was funny, but it was gross.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be cringe. Like, it's supposed to be like they're deliriously happy and in love. And screw anyone else
fine,
who doesn't like recognize that.
Moira kind of Kelly funny. Succeeded. And in her direction of this, of these two in the scene.
Yeah.
Because I was mortified.
And yes, everyone's having so much fun in this episode too. Like, you can tell it was directed by someone that they love and trust.
Yes.
Like,
you can tell that none of the bigwigs who sit in the writer's room in LA, none of those assholes were there. One of their own was directing the episode, and they were very happy to have that be the thing, that it was just family that episode.
I will say, as we are recapping this episode, I want you both to keep, just have this little thought nugget in your brain.
Okay.
This is the episode I've become concerned about Lucas's eyesight, because he is squinting this entire episode at everyone he talks to.
Sweetie, that's just Chad Michael Murray. He's squinting.
No, it's further than a brood. It's more aggressive than his normal brood. He is fully squinting at everything that comes in front of him, and I'm starting to get worried about his eyes.
Okay.
That's good. All.
We'll keep that in mind.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes. So while you're worried about Lucas's eyesight, Nathan is worried about money as he's circling the newspaper trying to find some jobs, and Skills tells him, "You know that club that's over there, blah, blah, blah." And he's like, "You mean the strip club?" He's like, "Yeah, they're doing an amateur night with $1,000 prize." And
this is when I got very excited. I'm like, yeah.
And Skill says that the two of them together, they could not lose the amateur night. And Nathan declines. But Skills tells him to think about it. Because, you know, Skills has been watching those new Usher music videos on TRL. And he's got moves. Which, again, is one of those most early 2000s. Sentences ever.
It's very good. It's very good.
Yes. Then we go to Then we go to Karen and Dan, who is there helping her out, and they're making lunch apparently. And Deb comes in. And Deb makes some quip about, "Oh, I used to have one of those. I thought I put him down," or something like that. "It seems you've neutered this one." And Deb is shocked and tells Karen how dumb she is for letting Dan Beck into her life. And
agreed.
And Deb then also brings up Keith and says he would roll over in his grave if he could see the two of them together. And she leaves. And Dan says maybe this was a bad idea. And he also leaves. And Karen is visibly upset at the whole situation.
You know, she was high as a kite when she had this conversation and went off on Karen. But she's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. Again, like, quiet parts
Deb in
out
this
loud.
Moment is saying everything we have been thinking for the last 10 episodes.
I think we've been screaming into the microphone
all season long.
Yep.
And it's what's even more infuriating is, as we'll come to find out, Karen promptly does not listen to any of this.
No.
Then she did it anyway, as you could say.
Yes. So then we go to Brooke, who is sitting in class, a calculus class, and having some guilt about her cheating on the calc test until she gets her test back and realizes she got an A. So she's okay with it now. And
Never mind.
It's fine. It's good. It's fine. This is great. Yay, an A. And Chase is behind her and comments on her good grade and admits he has a hard time with calculus. And she's like, yeah, I can see how people could be that way. And he asks if maybe she could tutor him. And she immediately goes, yes, yes. And then says to Rachel, look at me, I'm a smart virgin. And Rachel just says, great, you're the new mouth.
Which was an incredible comeback for one Rachel Gatina.
It was so great. It was so good. Great. You're the new mouth. Oh, God. Yes. Then we go to Peyton and Lucas, who are hanging out in her room. And Peyton.
This entire scene is sponsored by Singular.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yep.
So Peyton is giving Lucas a hard time because he put back a Radiohead record in the wrong spot. He put it by title alphabetically instead of band alphabetically.
Dump him immediately.
And it turns out that she has them sorted alphabetically by genre and subgenre. And he's like, oh, okay, great. Well, if you're so good at that, then you should tell me what song's playing on the radio right now. And she's like, oh, watch this. While she flips out her singular wireless cell phone and uses a song identifying software that was brand new in 2007 to identify what song was playing on the radio.
Shazam has entered the chat.
Yep. Yes. Beta Shazam.
Yep.
Has arrived.
God. Oh. Yes. But I do remember seeing that back then and being like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
Because it was very cool to be like, oh, you can just find out what song's playing no matter what. You don't have to wait for them to say what it was. That's amazing. Yes. Then they both get really flirty with each other and they admit how happy they are. And Peyton's like, everything looks better and feels better and even foods taste better. And they talk about, you know, she asks Lucas what his favorite food is. And he's like, chocolate chip cookies. She's like, I bet those even taste even yummier. He's like, yummier? And she says, yes, yummier. And while they're being all lovey-dovey, she's like, all right, fine. I want to take you somewhere. And she takes him to the cemetery.
Cool date, yep. Peyton Sawyer.
Yep. To visit her mom's grave.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be fair, this was the moment I burst into tears. So,
Yeah, it's very sweet. And she talks to her mom's grave and introduces Lucas to her. And Lucas tells her how important Peyton is to him and how he wouldn't be here without her. And Peyton says likewise. And she asks Lucas for a second while she talks to her mom. And so Lucas goes to Keith's grave and talks with him a bit. And he flashes again back to Keith saying, open your eyes, Luke, open your eyes, while he's squinting very hard, as Jesse pointed out before. And Lucas looks back at Peyton, and then it flashes back to the day of the shooting again. And we see Lucas see Keith leaning over Jimmy's body at the school. And Peyton comes up to Lucas and shakes him out of it and asks him what's wrong. And he admits to her that she's going to think he's crazy, but he doesn't think that Jimmy killed Keith.
What? Crazy? No. What?
Interesting.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So before we move on, I have not only a correction, but also I'm going to open the box again and I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. I'm ready.
During the dream sequence episode, when everything flashes back and we're like, oh, we finally have a timeline.
You mean the because giant date of that's the on death Jimmy's date grave?
On Peyton's grave being March 2006.
Uh-huh.
Well, I noticed during this episode, specifically during the scene while Lucas was talking to Keith, that the death day on Keith's gravestone is different.
Mm-hmm.
Than Jimmy's?
Uh-huh.
No, not Jimmy's, than Peyton's.
Oh.
Because remember in episode 10, when it's like, oh, that's
Peyton's when they gravestone. Show Peyton's grave. Yeah. It's
March, and we established, March. It happened in March. Yeah. So in this scene, the death day on Keith's gravestone is January 23rd, 2006.
And also, so it's different than Jimmy's as well, because I looked at Jimmy's on this. Jimmy says March 1st. So fuck this timeline. It makes no sense. Literally, no, here's the thing. No, in a search for it, I went to look for help to be like, all right, can someone make sense of this timeline? The entire Reddit thread of One Tree Hill cannot definitively say what this timeline is at all. Like, literally, everyone has just said, this timeline is fucked. Don't try to figure it out.
I think, truthfully, and because I was thinking about this, and I was like, so the timeline of Haley's pregnancy and how close they are to the end of the school year, alongside of everything else that has happened in season four, the shooting happening in January makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we may have talked about this in episode 10, where like it being in March, like that's such a short amount of time, and it's probably mm-hmm. May right mm-hmm. now. So
right.
Yeah.
I think even though there were clearly some continuity issues in the writer's room and in the props department.
That's very generous of you.
Yeah. No, I'm just gonna say they all done fucked up.
Yeah. But it make like,
yeah, it would make sense that the shooting happened in January, because then that also would give them time to do basketball playoffs, because probably the finals were in March. So we're probably in March right now, because then we do get that thing of saying that prom is in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Which would put it in April, which is when prom usually is. Mm-hmm. And there we go. So, yes, I would say that's where we are right now with everything. And I am happy to say we are in March of 2007.
Final that's answer.
It. Final answer. We're sticking with it. We're done for right now till we open it again.
For now.
But I'm okay, closing the box.
Box is closed.
Thank you. Okay.
I just had to point that out because I saw it and I was like, wait a second.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Box is gently tapped closed, but it could be flipped open at any
time. I was going to say, we haven't locked it.
No, oh, it's not locked.
We're never going to lock it with this goddamn show.
I wouldn't even say it's latched.
Nope. All right. Ready to move on, kids?
Yeah. What happens next on One Tree?
What happens next? Tell me. Brody.
So then we go to Haley, who is at home, and her closet has exploded because she's trying to fit into her dresses with no luck because, you know, she's pregnant and she's putting on weight because she's making a baby.
Miraculously appeared this episode.
Exactly. It did. She now has a baby bump. It's fine.
Did we not say she's going to go from zero to pregnant?
Oh, give you it like another two episodes and she's going to look like she's 12 months pregnant at that point. Not even kidding you.
Carry around seriously. A full-grown teenager in there.
Seriously. It's going to happen. So just get ready. Like, it makes no goddamn sense. Literally, someone that's speaking with the timeline, someone tried to track Haley's pregnancy and they're like, nope, don't even try it. Does not work. Does not compute.
I would like to think that somebody in the writer's room or several people in the writer's room had very similar timeline conversations that we have every week
mm-hmm.
and realized what they had done.
Uh-huh. And they just go, God, we can't fix it. We can't do anything about it. What do we do? Let it go, man. Just let it go. The door's open. Just let it out.
There's no way anyone's going to watch this TV show close enough to really notice any of this. Right?
No one's going to watch this TV show 20 years later.
Right? Yep. Oh, God.
Or really, yes. From 2007, 15 years later.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So she's trying all these dresses and she can't fit into any of them because she's pregnant. And Nathan comes in and she asks him if she looks good in this dress that's barely not even completely zipped up. And he's like, is there a right answer? To which she starts throwing things at him and she's very mad. And we find out too, while she's ranting about her being too big for these dresses, that, you know, she found out she's going to be in her cast for another 6 to 8 weeks, and prom is in just 4 weeks. So she doesn't have a prom dress that's going to fit her. She's going to be in a boot. And in a perfect world, she just wanted a nice night where she was in a pretty dress and Nathan looked handsome and they were going to dance at prom and it was going to be really sweet and nice. And she says, but that won't happen. And Nathan says, she'll look great in anything except that dress, to which she storms off and waddles off to the bathroom.
One crutch like Tiny Tim's
She yeets herself off that bed. Yep. And I'm just like, that is the most awkward running with a crutch I've ever seen in my life. But yes, I dig it. Yes.
I also just really loved this scene too, because it's like, they've been married for they've been married for 2.5 seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is anywhere from 8 weeks to a year and a half. We don't know.
We don't know which one it is. Yes.
Right. Exactly. And it's just, I feel like this was the most like slice of life scene.
Yep.
That these two have ever had.
I mean, we've moved on from the getting hit by a car and beating a corpse to death. So.
Right.
We got to go somewhere to happy.
Yeah. We are squarely in my wife is pregnant and hormonal. Please help.
Yes. SOS. In high school, because she's pregnant and hormonal and worried about prom.
Yes.
Which I kind of like that this episode for centers very squarely in high school, which I like when it goes back to high school for them. Yeah. They still have the issues. They still have the drama, but it's high school.
They're still ending up in a strip club. Right.
Yes. Right. But remember, it's God's strip club.
It's God's strip club.
It's God's strip club.
No, it's like that episode a couple weeks ago when she was babysitting and I have to go to my husband's basketball game almost came out of her mouth. Same energy. Like, I am pregnant and married and have to worry about prom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Haley yeets herself in the bathroom and we cut immediately to Nathan asking Skills, how naked do we have to get? And Jesse is doing a happy dance because I'm pretty sure she wishes it was all the way.
All the way.
And Skills says, I knew you'd come around. And so he asked Mouth to choreograph a routine for them because they know that Nathan can't dance.
Specifically, Skills refers to Mouth as the best choreographer in town, which I loved.
I mean, he did save the cheerleading squad junior year.
Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah. We've seen the kind of dance moves the cheerleaders can come up with when left to their own devices.
Yes. Everyone needs Mouth when they dance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So they play some music and they're like, Nathan, show us what you can do because we know you're bad, but let's see how bad you actually are. And he starts and they're both like, is he as bad as I think he is? And they're like, no, he's worse. And they're like, well, maybe it's the song. So immediately it cuts to Skills asking Peyton if she can hook him up with a song for this. And they have a really cute moment where Skills asks how, you know, she and Lucas are doing. She's like, it's good. And he's like, good, because you two just work together. They fit. It's not like Bevan and I where nobody expects this to work, but it does. But you two just work. You just fit together and you just work. And it's great to see. And Peyton hooks him up with some old school hip hop. And Peyton asks him why he needs this music. And he tells her that they've entered the strip contest. And Peyton is very excited and asks if she can tell Lucas. And Skills says, you can tell anyone you want because I think we're going to need all the help and home court advantage we can get. And Peyton is very, very excited. And I think it's hilarious.
She's so happy to be like, can I please tell Lucas?
Right. Yes. So then we go back to Brooke and Chase on their way to the Clean Teens emergency meeting. And Brooke asks Chase what's in it for her if she tutors him. And he's like, well, if you tutor me, I'll take you out to dinner. And she's like, okay, great. So they start the emergency clean team meeting. And we find out why. It's because there is an imposter in their group, ladies and gentlemen. There is an imposter. And Brooke gets very nervous until we find out that I think it's Charity, one of the members, Charity. Her brother is in college, and he took video of this happening at a college party last night of someone, it's Rachel, in a clean teens t-shirt partying with college boys as she takes it off. It is ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
What's
it's
even just, more ridiculous
it is almost as ridiculous as this girl's name being Charity.
First and Shelly pauses it just as Rachel's about to take her bra off, and some poor little virgin nerd named Sheldon is very upset at that. Poor Sheldon.
Charity's brother is gross, man. Uh-huh.
Why are you videoing a minor?
Yeah, a high school student.
18.
No, she's 18 now. She's 18, so there we go. Yeah, why are you videoing a high school girl, though? That's gross. Yeah.
A high school girl that is in a club with your little sister.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Rachel shows very little remorse for this, and she's like, that's as far as it went, I didn't do anything else. And Shelly's like, don't make me blacklight you,
which was a hilarious comeback.
Uh-huh. 1 point. I'm sorry. 1 point to Shelly. That was a good one.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And Shelly, you know, says you are officially kicked out of the Clean Teens because you don't have any remorse for what you've done. And Rachel gets up to leave and she's like, can I keep the shirt? And Shelly's like, no, you can't keep the shirt. So Rachel just takes it off then and there and asks Brooke to come with her as she's leaving. And Brooke looks back at Chase and says, no, I think I'm going to stay. However, Sheldon really wants to go with her until Rachel goes, beat it, nerd, and leaves.
Poor Sheldon.
Poor Sheldon. Poor little nerdy virgin Sheldon. So then we cut to Lucas, who comes to the cafe as Karen gives him a hard time and says, what? I don't recognize you without Peyton right next to you. And she tells him that she approves of him dating Peyton. And she gets a lesson from Lucas about the fact that, you know, she says, well, you've had a crush on her for years. And Lucas like, mom, boys don't have crushes. Girls have crushes.
Hold on. You got to do it right. You got to close your eyes a little more. You got to go, mom.
Cool.
Boys don't have crushes.
Yeah. Which is bullshit. But okay. Anyway. Yes. No, so
this
then
is the most mom scene.
It ever. Is. It's the Karen woot woot thing again. And I'm very happy that that's back. Yes. Can I get a woot woot?
Woot woot.
Yes. Yes. But she compares Lucas and Peyton a little bit to Karen and Keith, which makes Lucas say, he admits to her. He's like, I wasn't going to tell you about this, but he tells her that he saw Keith while he was in the hospital. And he admits to her that he thinks Jimmy didn't kill Keith. And Karen does not believe him at all and tells him she knows it's hard to accept the truth because Jimmy was his friend. But she tells him it happened. He shot Keith like he shot Peyton. And he should be grateful that he still has Peyton.
Yeah, that was rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was hard to watch. And yeah. It's also just like the hurt on her face. You can just see like how much it hurts her to like talk about Keith in this way, mm-hmm. but how much it hurts her to realize how much Lucas is still grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
well, yeah. And it's like someone took a machete to their wounds and just opened it back up with that statement for them. And it's just,
yeah.
So mm-hmm. hard to see.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then, we go to Brooke and Haley, as they are called to a meeting by Principal Turner, since Haley is in the tutoring center and Brooke is student body president.
Which she forgot about.
God, I think everyone's forgotten about that. She did that back in season 2 and trounced that one person's name. I can't remember.
Erica.
Erica.
Thank Marsh.
You. Thank you.
This is the longest student body president term because she won while they were still juniors.
Well,
she
it was
won at
for
the end.
End of junior year into senior year. That was
right,
the whole
thing. But she started DW not I during their junior year.
That's true.
Who knows? Maybe there was a re-election and they just didn't decide to, you know, say anything about it.
Maybe.
It's fine. It's
clearly everyone forgot, including Brooke.
Well, if Whitey's not there to, you know, do the election, then who cares? So yeah.
Right.
But no. So basically, Principal Turner says that they have found out that tests are missing out of the tutoring center and whoever stole them will be expelled or worse.
Which had what's
the worst that you can do to them, Turner? You're not like, what are you going to do? Hang them by their toenails?
Yeah. The big You're Hermione wrong. Granger energy.
Seriously.
I know. Only backwards. Hermione is, or worse, you'll be expelled.
I know. Yeah. But it was the first thing that popped in my head when he said that.
Yeah. like, dude, really? Okay. Yeah.
All right, and, Principal Turner. Like,
right. And as they're leaving, Haley is convinced that Rachel's the one who stole the tests. So Brooke immediately comes home to find out that Rachel, never returned the tests they stole from the tutoring center. So had they just done that, no one would have been any wiser. But yeah, Rachel does not care, as Turner has no idea it was them. And she's more annoyed that Brooke left her hanging in Clean Teens for Chase. And Rachel's like, yeah, it's just because of that cute new guy. And Brooke says, no, it's not that. It's that she could get chased anytime she wanted. That doesn't matter. And Rachel asks her if she cares to take a bet on that.
Don't do it. Rachel truly brings out the worst in Brooke, even when they're friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it just is mind-blowing to me.
Especially when they're friends. Because, like, she convinces Brooke somehow that all the bad things are her idea. Mm-hmm. Like, Brooke fully buys into them.
Yep.
Instead of all the righteous indignation that comes when they're on opposite sides. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we go to Mouth, Skills, and Nathan. And Mouth comes over and brings Nathan and Skills the outfits that they're going to wear for their routine. And he has a big bag, which he takes a small bag out of the big bag, and then he takes out a tiny gold thong out of it. And Nathan's like, hell no.
Yes!
But no, they were just joking. They're going to do something a little different, which Nathan is relieved at. So, yes. Much to
Jesse. I like to think that they didn't tell James Lafferty, so that reaction was genuine.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this because is what this was really James.
Funny.
It was so funny.
This trio, we talked last week about me loving the trio that is Haley, Lucas, and Mouth, but this new trio of Skills, Mouth, and Nathan is gold. I'm a big fan.
It's gold like that thong.
It is as gold as that thong, yes.
Golden,
yes.
It is gold lame, just like the thong.
yeah, it's great. So then we get Lucas coming over to Peyton's house, to a very smoky house, I will say. Because Peyton is in the kitchen and she is burning a batch of chocolate chip cookies. Burning is not even the right word for it. She turned them into burning charcoal. Burning is generous.
She's incinerating.
Like, Peyton just realized that she has a kitchen.
Right?
She's like, wait, this house has more than just two rooms in it.
She's Deb Scotting that kitchen.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. And... yeah. So, and they're laughing it off because they're like, oh, I guess we're just chaos junkies about all this. And they just laugh it off and they have fun. And he tells her that he told his mom about Keith and he kind of feels bad about it. And he then asks her if, you know, hey, with everything going on, do they just want to be happy? And she's like, I thought you'd never ask. So it's very cute that the two of them are just like, you know what? Screw everything that's happened the last few, you know, years. And we're just going to be happy.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Yeah.
So then, then we go to Dan, who goes to visit Keith's grave and finds Karen there. And while Karen's there, she invites Dan over for pot roast because she didn't know that that Lucas had plans tonight.
She said, "It's too much for me, bitch. Leftovers." Uh-huh. Right, you know what is delicious? Leftover pot roast.
Yes. Yep. And he says he'd love to. And then we cut to Dan breaking into Deb's house and throwing water on her to wake her up out of her drug-induced coma and commends her for her performance in front of Karen at the cafe. And he tells her that he's actually being sincere about everything that's going on. And he asks her if she remembers their rehearsal dinner the night before their wedding. And she says, I just remember that you disappeared for a while. And he says, yeah, I disappeared because I left and waited outside Karen's house that night. And he tells her that Karen was the love of his life. And he settled for Deb that night.
This fucking sucked.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and this Deb was tells
really awful.
It was like, so awful to watch.
Like, we obviously, you know, Dan has done a lot of shitty things in the last 3.5 seasons. The number one obviously still being him murdering his brother. But this might be the number two worst thing that he's done so far. Telling this junkie that, like, just like pouring, like, by the truckload of salt into the wound.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I would say this and when he choked out his own son when he thought his son tried to kill him. Correct. That was pretty bad.
That was also pretty bad. And, you know, the bribing Jules to marry Keith thing.
Yeah.
That wasn't great either.
So maybe this cracks the top five. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's sure still God. Second.
It's not. It's,
but
yeah, it's not,
it is.
Yeah.
It joins a storied history of being the shittiest person on the planet.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Ooh, buddy.
Yeah. And Deb tries to like come back at him and tells him that she and Nathan are so much better without him in their lives. And Dan corrects her and says that Nathan threw her out long before Dan did. To which we then cut to immediately a very high and a very upset Deb coming to Nathan and Haley's place. And Nathan's not home, but Haley answers the door and refuses to let Deb in her current state. And Deb tries to push her way in and ends up knocking Haley over with the door off her crutches and onto the floor. Just as Nathan gets home, and Deb apologizes, but Nathan tells her to get out and tells her to pretend that he doesn't exist to her anymore. And slams the door in her face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this whole storyline, like, I loved this episode so much, but there's like a huge asterisk next to that, because this was fucking brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of Deb in this episode. And yeah, I don't know.
And again, props to Barbara Ellen Woods for acting this.
Acting the so shit out of
the hell out of this episode.
So desperately messy. It was so good. Yeah. So then we go to Brooke and Chase, and they're at their dinner. And she asks Chase why he's never had sex. And has he ever had girlfriends and everything? And he says that he had one serious girlfriend, but they broke up. Well, and Brooke says, did you break up because of sex? And he says, yeah, because she had sex with my best friend. So I lost my girlfriend and my best friend in the same fell swoop. And she says, how relatable. My best friend told me she was in love with my boyfriend twice. Yeah.
Ugh. Yep.
And Chase says that he joined Clean Teens at Tree Hill just to start over. He wants to be with someone who he can trust and who is completely honest with him. And immediately Brooke has a small guilty look on her face as soon as he says that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Then back at God's strip club, Nathan is very embarrassed that Rachel and Bevan are there. And he asks if anyone told Haley that he's doing this. And Mouth admits, no, I don't think so. But Skills told Peyton, who probably told Lucas. So they probably told Haley. And just at that moment, we cut over to Haley, who answers the door. And it's Peyton, who's come to pick Haley up for a surprise.
Yeah, just abducts his pregnant wife.
Uh-huh. I loved this.
It was so cute.
She's just like, I don't want to leave the house. I'm not feeling great. And Peyton is like, too bad.
Get dressed. We're going. Yes. Yes. Then we go back to Brooke and Chase, and they are walking back from their dinner, and they come across a street band who they have some people who are dancing, slow dancing in front of it. And Chase asks Brooke to dance. And Brooke is like, I don't know how to dance to this music. And he's like, I can teach you. I can show you. So he takes her in his arms and they dance, and he tells her about how he learned to dance by watching his parents dance. And he then notices how fast Brooke's heart is beating. Aww. Yeah.
They also have some really good banter.
Oh, yeah.
This episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my favorite lines this like during the scene was when he was talking about watching his parents sitting on the stairs in his footy pajamas. She goes, wasn't that last year?
Mm-hmm.
Which was very cute.
Yes. And
we approve of this type of banter.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yep. So then we go back to the strip club, and the person before them is doing their routine, and Skills looks out and notices how many people are out there. And Skills is getting very, very nervous. And then do a really hard 180, we go back to Deb, who is devastated and very upset and crying. And she comes home, goes straight for her pills, and pours a couple out of the bottle, and then ends up pouring the entire bottle in her hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Then we go back to Chase and Brooke, who, after they were done dancing, are enjoying some ice cream. And he says, we're enjoying ice cream on a cold night. And she says, it's all part of my master plan to then warm you up later. Ha ha, flirty, witty banter. And
this also proves that it's March.
Mm-hmm. And she says something about being, you know, having her cute girly charm or something like that. And Chase says, I wouldn't just say cute. I would say beautiful. And we see that Brooke is falling hard and fast for this boy.
She is heart eyes motherfucker for this boy.
And I will just say, I cannot blame her. Holy crap.
I don't blame her either. God. Nope.
So good.
Chase is the boy I should have dated in high school. Like, where was Chase?
Right?
Where was my Chase?
He was in Laguna Beach.
He was in Laguna Beach cheating on Lauren Conrad, if I remember correctly.
Is he the reason her mascara got fucked up?
Maybe. I'm pretty sure. I can't remember. God,
I never watched
so
Laguna
long.
Beach, so I don't actually know. I no. just remember when Steven joined One Tree Hill, everyone was freaking out because it was Steven from Laguna Beach. And I was just like, oh, okay.
Wasn't I'm Tara pretty Hilton sure also like a Laguna Beach, the hills.
No.
He was not.
Okay. No, but if I remember correctly, and viewers, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, I should say, I'm pretty sure like in Laguna Beach things, Stephen Coletti was more like Lucas with that he had Lauren Conrad. And then he was also like, maybe hooking up with somebody else or cheated on her with somebody else. I can't remember.
Was it Heidi?
No, it was. No, who did the hills?
Kristen.
Who did the hills?
Kristen.
Oh, No. His girlfriend. Here's what it was. Because we've been saying it wrong. It was not Lauren Conrad. He was boyfriends with Kristen and then cheated on her with LC. With Lauren
That's
Conrad.
Right.
That's what it was.
That's
yes.
right.
So in this triangle, Kristen Cavallari was Brooke. Stephen Coletti was Lucas. And LC was Peyton.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, because Heidi was always with that weird.
Heidi was on the hills.
Heidi was on the hills, and she was dating Spencer.
And she was that was never Laguna Beach. Laguna Beach was when they were in high school.
Right. Right.
For some reason, they got a whole bunch of high school seniors to be on this reality show and fabricate a bunch of shit.
Well, of course they did, because this was also when the OC was on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And everyone was obsessed with that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I just have to look for my own posterity real quick. We can, oh God. Yeah. No, it was Laguna Beach, the real Orange County, which aired from September of 2004 until November 2006.
Mm-hmm. And he joined One Tree Hill shortly thereafter.
2007. Yeah. Yep. Wow.
Capitalizing on a very short-lived fame, like respect it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. And now he's been in tons of stuff. And mm-hmm. acted in tons of stuff before. So good
and
for
he
him.
And James Lafferty are BFFs to the point that he was a groomsman in James's wedding.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's cute. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So then, okay. So then we go back to the show.
the show we actually watch for this podcast.
Yes. 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 Not the one we're totally getting wrong. But then we go back to the strip club. And Nathan and Mouth are trying to convince Skills to go on, but Skills says he can't. So the show must go on. So a hooded figure joins Nathan on stage. Who could it be? Who
there
was it,
white
Jesse?
Hands sticking out from under the sleeves. Oh, it's none other than Marvin McFadden, right? McFadden? Did I get that right?
You
oh,
did. You mouth. Did. Yes, yes.
Oh, so it's mouth a dancing of- mouth. It's mouth. A dancing mouth.
Mouth and Lucas do the routine. Too tricky.
You mean Nathan?
Did I say Lucas?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I meant Nathan. It's fine. I got very excited. It's fine. Yes. And then Nathan is very surprised to find Haley in the front row with Lucas and Peyton.
Just looking up at him.
Uh-huh. And
then
she throws
waves her dollar bills at him.
Uh-huh. And he's like, oh, okay. Great.
And it's not even like a joyful look on her face. It is an exasperated, my husband's an idiot. Uh-huh. Here's my money.
Yep. It's one of those. It's not like, yeah, my baby's doing something really great. It's like, okay, my husband's doing this. We got to support him.
This is me being a supportive wife. Here we
go. Yep. Yep.
And Lucas covering his eyes.
and Haley's eyes. Yes. Yes. Oh,
which is
God,
hilarious considering Lucas, she's already pregnant.
Right? Right?
He doesn't want her to get pregnant again.
Yes. So then they do the routine and it's hilarious. But Bevan sneaks off and goes backstage and tells Skills that she came to see her man dance on stage. And he's like, I know, but there's a lot of people, baby. And she says, but if you don't dance for me, I don't get to dance for you later. as she unbuttons her top and shows that she's got on this really pretty lingerie top. And Skills is very excited.
And highly motivated.
Highly motivated.
He is already in his boxers when he bursts onto that stage.
Well, because yes. He had to give Mouth his costume.
No, yep. I understand why, but...
Yes. And so Skills runs up on stage and joins them, and they all three end up finishing the routine, and it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
And of course, they won. Of course they did, because why wouldn't they? Yeah. So then after the competition, Rachel comments on Nathan's dancing to Haley, and Haley just flat out tells her, I know that someone took those calculus tests, and if I find out that you did it, Rachel, I'm turning you in. And Rachel's like, okay, thanks, bye.
Good talk.
Yeah. Then we go to Dan, who is leaving the house to go to Karen's with flowers in his hand, and he gets a call from Deb. And she says how she screwed up so many times and asks him to be good to Nathan. He deserves better. And Dan just kind of, you know, throws it off and says that she needs to stop taking those pills. And she assures him it's all right. They're all gone. Meaning she took them all.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like.
And so then the next scene is Deb getting wheeled onto an ambulance to the hospital, because what we figure out from that is that Dan did go over to her house and called 911 and saved Deb. And as she's being wheeled away, Dan gets a call from Karen, and he apologizes for running late. He says, but something came up, and he says, but it's nothing important. Don't worry.
Both of them to not tell the woman who is arguably his ex-wife's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Mm-hmm. The woman who missed most of her son's championship basketball game to take her to rehab.
Yeah,
correct. Like, real bold of him to not tell Karen about this. And also at this point, he hasn't told Nathan either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
The mm-hmm. full lack of sympathy really like highlights what a sociopath he is too.
It's just
and
so
it's
weird.
It's mostly like, I think what he's doing is he's saving her not for her sake or his sake, but for like Nathan and Karen's and other people's sake, because he knows, like, I think that's part of what he's thinking is, if he lets her die, then they're all going to be upset, and that's not good for him.
They're all going to be upset, and when they find mm-hmm. out that he was the last person Deb called, mm-hmm. and he let her die, they're all going to tell him yes. to go fuck himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So, a conscious, but with a bad motive behind mm-hmm. it.
Yes, a conscience, but a selfish conscience.
Yeah. Jesus.
He's mm-hmm. the worst?
Fuck Dan Scott.
Yes. Say it with us, everybody. Fuck Dan Scott.
And here I was worried last episode that I was too much.
That you
on
hadn't
Dan
said
Scott.
It in a while?
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. I was literally thinking about this Scott. Exact moment when
right.
you said that. Because I was like, give it a week.
Oh, right. Yes. So then back to some feel good feels, because yes, we need it. Chase in his classic car, because apparently all teenagers have classic cars in this show for some reason.
That exact thought.
Yep. It's great. Chase takes Brooke to a lookout point in Tree Hill, and Brooke immediately slides out of the front seat into the back seat as she tells him, well, this is a notorious makeout spot. And he says, well, they were actually up here for the view because it's got a gorgeous view. And Brooke's literally like, oh, I've never seen that before.
God. Yeah, it's almost like an instinctive reaction to having a car parked in this location.
I mean, like, I'm really surprised she didn't just start disrobing in the back seat to do the right. Brooke Davis special back there.
No, absolutely. Just like, it's muscle memory. A car parks on top of this point and mm-hmm. her body, without her knowing it, climbs into the back seat of the car.
Yes. Climbs the back seat. I'm ready, sir. Let's yes. go. Yes. Yes. But Chase says, you know, maybe we can just talk and enjoy the view. And Brooke climbs back into the front seat and is slightly embarrassed by everything. And she says she hasn't been a clean teen for too long. And Chase admits, yeah, I kind of figured, given the fact that I've seen your time capsule video. To which she's very embarrassed about. But he tells her that he doesn't care who she was, but he's interested in who she is. And Brooke calls him a unicorn for being such a sweet, sincere, and hot guy. And he asks very, very cutely, very sweetly, if he could be called a dragon instead, since that sounds way cooler. And she's like, okay, you're a dragon. It's so cute. So cute.
I just love that he's like, I don't care about who you were. I care about who you are. And my brain goes, you mean a slutty, lying liar who lies? Because at this moment,
she's a slutty, lying liar who lies. Yes.
Love you, Brooke. Yes. But.
Yep.
Yes. So then we go back to Peyton and Lucas, and Peyton has finished another batch of cookies, which Lucas tries. And Peyton does not understand what a dash of salt means and a handful of salt. So the cookies are very, very salty where they are inedible. And she asks Lucas to try another batch, which is just dough, which she then promptly just smears on his face. To which then that is a calling for them to start a food fight in the middle of Peyton's kitchen.
Yeah. No, that was a very
so cute.
Mm-hmm. It was a very sweet moment. Like, and it was just, it was a really, this is probably stupid, but a very like fun character moment on Lucas's part or Chad Michael Murray's part, where he's got the salt and like he instinctively throws it over his shoulder mm-hmm. before he throws the rest of the salt away.
Yes, like, I loved mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's just, and it was completely instinctual. Like, it might not have even been a character choice. That was Chad Michael Murray coming out and being like, superstitions, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. So then we go to Nathan, who comes home to find Haley saying, how you doing, hot stuff? How much for a dance? As she's twirling around that gold lame thong that I'm pretty sure mouth or skills were like, here,
oh, yeah.
here, Haley, you can use this later.
You know, mouth went. Here you go.
Right.
Gave her the
I know you're already pregnant, but here you go.
Yes.
Just
yes.
in case you want another one.
Yes. Yes. In case you want to give that kid a sibling, here you go. Yes. And Nathan's slightly embarrassed. He's like, no, seriously, how much for a lap dance, dude? And he says, well, I did it for the money quick cash, so I could buy you this. And in the box, there is a gorgeous maternity prom dress for her. And Haley is very happy until she realizes again that she won't be able to dance with him because of her leg. And he says, no. You can do whatever you put your mind to. I have no doubt you're going to be dancing at prom. And
listen,
yeah,
I know Twilight wasn't out at this point, but Bella Swan showed every girl in that movie that it doesn't matter if you have a boot on your foot. Your vampire boyfriend can twirl you around that.
Because he put bone. Yes. Yes.
Was the book even out yet
yes.
in 2007?
Yeah. The book came out in 06. The movie came out in 08.
Well, I knew when the movie came out.
Hi, my name's Jesse. I am a recovering Twihard.
Excellent.
Yeah. No, the first book was like the hottest shit my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
Which was 06, 07.
That makes sense.
Wow. Yeah. So then we go back to Chase and Brooke, and he walks Brooke home and comments on the fact that they didn't do any studying tonight. So maybe they should get together and study tomorrow. And Brooke agrees. And when they're at the door, she reaches out her hand for a handshake, and Chase takes her hand and pulls her in for a kiss. And Brooke is completely knocked off her feet and says, that was amazing. And Chase admits, when all you do is kiss, you get really good at it, and kisses her again. And it's so cute.
Ugh, they're so cute. I love it.
So am I allowed to get attached to this character? That silence you're hearing right now is just blank stares from both Brody and Caitlin.
We are a no-spoiler podcast, so interesting.
Okay, thank you.
Cannot confirm or deny how long Chase will be around.
Great, thank you.
So, but we can enjoy him while he's here, because
is it as long as Brooke's newfound virginity is around? I'm assuming.
So then we go to Lucas and Peyton, who have completely trashed her kitchen, complete with the kitchen table flipped over. Lucas has a lid as a shield for the cookie dough. It is smeared on the walls. Like, it's everywhere. And Peyton makes comments about having cookie dough in her bra, which makes Lucas turn around. So he gets a face full of cookie dough again, and he calls a truce. And they stop the food fight, and they kiss on the floor of the kitchen, and it's adorable. And it starts a quick little montage of then Mouth, Rachel, Bevan, and Skills dancing down the streets of Tree Hill, being adorable. Nathan and Haley admiring her new dress in the mirror. Brooke watching Chase leave through the door, through the window of the front room with complete hard eyes. Oh my God, the biggest hard eyes I think I've ever seen that girl have. And then Lucas and Peyton still kissing on the kitchen floor as he says, "Nope, I take it back. This is the best cookie I've ever had."
Lies.
Clearly that man has never had crumble.
Oh my God.
Then we go to Dan and Karen, and they're having dinner, and Dan says Karen's been really quiet, and she apologizes and tells him that Lucas told her today he doesn't think that Jimmy killed Keith, and it strikes a complete panic in Danny Boy, as you can see, and the episode ends. So, what do we think?
Dan replies, "Well, that's interesting."
Interesting.
Interesting.
His voice goes up 2 octaves.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Oh God. Okay, what did we think of this episode, kids?
I loved it.
I loved it too. It's such a good episode.
I loved it. Heavy asterisk that we've already talked about.
Yeah, we've already talked about
the Deb stuff. Yes, that's in its separate category. But everything else, I love. I love the dancing. I love the gold thong. I love Chase and Brooke. I love the cookie fight. I love all of it. It's great.
Yep.
10 out of 10. Would recommend to a friend.
Absolutely.
In fact, I did, and that's why she's sitting here now doing a podcast. You're welcome.
That fateful day. Oh, God.
Hey, I warned you again what you were getting yourself into. That's your own damn fault for saying yes.
I still don't know if you did, but okay.
I did. Okay. Anyway, yeah.
No, I mean, we know my feelings about any episode that Mouth dances in. We know my feelings. It instantly goes right up to the top of the list. Like,
yeah.
No, I just think it had excellent character moments and very fun comedy, and it was directed by, you know, our Lord and Savior Moira Kelly. So, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. What more do you want?
Right. Well, according to you, Nathan, a lot more naked.
I mean, we can save that for the HBO reboot.
There we go. There we go.
James, I do, for the HBO reboot, I do require James Lafferty to be a teacher. Like they did with He's All That on Netflix, where Rachel Lee Cook came back as a teacher. I will require James Lafferty to be one of the 3 teachers in Tree Hill High that we know about.
There we go. So anything you want to add, Caitlin?
Yes, I had a question for you.
Okay.
Okay, so this cookie fight that Lucas and Peyton have, does it happen more than once?
No.
Because I swear this cookie fight happened way later in this series.
No, they have another kind of thing later on that they do.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm not crazy.
You're not completely... No, no, no. They do these antics. Yeah, these antics happen more than once.
Okay, that's what I thought, and I was very confused because I was like, I swear this happened way later than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, my favorite one is the one that happens later on in the series.
Well, yeah. I don't know what it is because I thought it was this. So
okay. I'll text it to you because it's a great one. It's a great one.
Yeah, please do.
Yes.
Please do. Anyway.
Yes.
No, I have nothing else to add. That was my only question. I was having like serious deja vu watching it. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? This happens somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. I guess I do have one not a high note thought that I was thinking during Dan and Deb's interaction. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting how he just like has a very selective memory about the events in their relationship, because he's like, yeah, Nathan dumped you long before I did. And I'm like, Danny boy, listen, she divorced your ass. You're the one that clung on to her.
I was gonna say.
You were the stage four clinger who wouldn't leave her fucking house, and she had to have her brother move in with her for a while to kick your ass out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, full selective memory of the events of their relationship. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, Dan, whatever you need to tell yourself to.
Well, I mean, it's the classic narcissistic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, and the classic, like, gaslighting.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
anyway,
cool. Well, I have a feeling this one's going to end up on our end of season, like, favorite episode list. Cause so far I think this takes the cake for favorite episode of the season so far for everybody.
Yeah.
So far.
I mean, yeah, I immediately texted both of you. This is the first cliffhanger of an episode that made me want to keep watching.
And I don't get what cliffhanger are you talking about?
She's talking about Dan being like, oh fuck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not technically a cliffhanger, but
it kept you interested enough that you wanted to keep watching.
The end of this episode made me go, fuck, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And not in a exasperated, annoyed way. Like it usually mm-hmm. is. in a truly interested, how
the fuck is Dan going to do about this?
Yeah.
I take it back. Cause I already know next week's episode is going to be my favorite of the season.
Okay.
Yeah. It's great. I'll just say this for Caitlin. It's the English assignment.
Oh man. Oh, that's a good one. Uh-huh. Oh, now I'm excited for next week.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Great.
Anything else we want to add before we wrap this up, guys?
Nope.
Great. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to listen to us. It really is great to know that we have people who actually want to listen to us ramble on about this crazy show, because we like it and we hope you like it too. With that being said, rate us 5 stars on all your podcast apps. That really does help us out in the long run with their wonderful algorithms and helps us get more traction on those apps. Follow us on social media. We are everywhere you can find social media at On Wednesdays Pod. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another wonderful episode of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye. Bye. How you doing, hot stuff?
There it is.